many of you have been to Hawaii? I know we're in the Northwest. Lots of people have been. Look at that. That is a gift. For those who haven't gone, it's a pretty good trip. Gotta say, Heather and I, years ago, you know, we grew up in Michigan. She upper Michigan, me lower Michigan. And so every time I got here at St. Luke's, and of course, before then we were at seminary, had no money for anything, never went anywhere, married this woman, never went on a vacation anywhere. And then every time we have a break, we go back to Michigan, back to see family, back to see family, back to see family. So a number of years ago, before kids, my wife and I, we decided we're going to go to Hawaii. And man, I had no idea how much I love Hawaii. Wow. Loved it so much that last year we actually brought my family, my mom and dad, out, and they joined with us on a second trip to Hawaii, which was so great. And so, again, we really wanted to have you go to Hawaii. We couldn't afford to fly you all there, so we brought Hawaii here. And I think, you know, there's no question, the first time Heather and I went, we were in the midst of, we were seeking to have a child. We were, you know, going through the steps. This is what we were longing for. Hadn't happened yet. Things were taking a lot longer than we expected. And also, we had just put the house for sale. Hope we get what we're asking for. You know, put the house for sale. And we just got away from all the worries, all the stresses. Because literally, is Hawaii a beautiful place? Yeah, there's lots of beautiful places in the world, no question. Palm trees, my absolute favorite. I used to draw palm trees as a little baby kid. I mean, I love palm trees. Been drawing them for years. Love palm trees. It's great. It's good. We took our kids. What did the kids do the entire time we were in Hawaii? Swam at the beach, you know. What is so great about Hawaii? And the answer is, you get away. And this is what we did for Mother's Day. We know moms. We know moms. We know everyone. Sometimes it's good just to get away to a place where you can go and there's food to buy instead of having to cook. There is a place you go where you don't have to clean up everything. There is a place you go where you don't have to go to work. You are just there to enjoy. There's a place to go where you can dress a little better. I don't even have shoes on. I mean, this is a first for me in preaching. So this is pretty nice to just let go. Let go. And I've talked with people on their trips back, and they're always like, did you have a great time in Hawaii? Oh, it was awesome. And now I'm back to work, and now I'm just stressed out because now I got to catch up on all the things I left behind, and oh, the house is a mess. And you get back from your vacation, and immediately you're back into the worries and the stresses and the craziness of life. 2 Thessalonians, as we read, chapter 3, this verse is powerful for us. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. Hawaii is sometimes our search for peace, but you're only away for a time. The God who made you longs to give you peace. And it's not by going away. Now, I know there's lots of kids in here, young people in school, and you know, it's so great that you're in school and you got tests and assignments to do, and that there's just nothing but peace helping you get all the work done that you need to get done, or you don't pass, or your parents are upset with you, or whatever. I mean, you kids, I'm sure you have absolute peace being in the school that you're in. And then there's, of course, you college-age people. I mean, college is a place of total peace, right? A place where there's no expectations, no pressures, no maybe some wrong things that can lead you in bad directions, but thankfully there's total peace when you're in that college life, for sure. Or maybe it's when you finally get done with college and there's nothing but peace as you look for a job. You know, you're ready to start a new life, and you just have nothing but peace as you begin searching for a job that would provide the money that you need to live. And then, of course, there is the moments as you get the job and you're settled in and, oh, you know, maybe I should, you know, maybe I should start dating this person, this guy, this girl. And I know, I mean, I've been there. You get a first date with someone. Both people are just completely at peace meeting someone, completely at complete rest as that relationship continues, you know. No matter what the struggles, there's just total peace in relationships, right? And then, of course, there is the time where, you know, you decide to get married. And what a gift it is. Because getting ready for a wedding is such a peaceful experience. I mean, it's so nice that the peace of God is in that marriage day. And certainly you get married and you decide to buy a house. How awesome to have a house all by yourself, own your own house. The peace that you have when, you know, the dishwasher breaks and you have to do all the laundry and the thing breaks and then you have to mow lawns and you know, there's only a few small things in houses that we struggle with. And then, of course, there is the, you know, having kids. I can't tell you, those of you moms on Mother's Day, you have a kid, what peace having a child has brought to you, right? That you have complete peace because this child is such a gift from God. And then, you know, you get older and you retire and the body is, you know, there's some aches and pains, but you're at total peace, right? No matter, oh, the job switches that happen, the relationship struggles that occur, the kids getting older are now out of your control, nothing but peace, right? We live in a peaceful world, do we not? And how can you have peace at all times, in every circumstance? It's not easy. There's four things I really kind of wanted to talk with you today about this issue. And it kind of starts, number one, with the fact that peace in our failures is a deep struggle. We often look at our life as we're going through and we constantly look back and say, oh, if I hadn't messed that up, if I hadn't made that mistake, if I had just done this differently in the past, and we struggle because our failures lead us to a lot of lack of peace. Now, Romans, my favorite of the books of the Bible, no question. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 starts this way. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is amazing and what is so helpful for our peace in life is the God who comes to us and says, you made a mistake. Guess what? It's forgiven. I'll never bring it up. I'll never beat you down with it. Washed clean. Now, I'm a guy here, I'm a pastor here, and, you know, I'm a guy who beats himself up more than anyone I know. I beat myself up like crazy. I look at all my failures. I look at all my mistakes. I look at everything I do wrong and But I'm glad that God has allowed me to take it, hand it to Jesus. I mean, this is what I do in communion. I lay my burdens down. And I receive that gift of God and know that God will never bring it up again to me. Never bring it up again. For he wants you to be able to let go. And it's not easy letting go sometimes, because sometimes it's not that you are the one bringing it up. Sometimes you have someone else that has to bring up everything from the past. Oh, yeah, you used to do that. And oh, yeah, you still are doing that. God doesn't want us ever to be listening to what others peoples are directing us to. He wants us to listen to him. And he tells us, your sins are forgiven. The mistake you made yesterday, forgiven. The mistake you're making right now, not paying attention, forgiven. Everything we have done wrong, everything we will do wrong, forgiven by the grace of God, by the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. So if you want to find peace, one of the biggest things, number one, is letting go. God's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Let it go. Let it go. Now, second in that category, I can't let it go. You know, I try, and is there a way to teach me how to find peace for myself and find peace for other people? There's got to be a right way, right? Well, peace, funnily enough, peace is a gift of God. It's not a skill you learn. It's not something, if you can do this and do this, then you're going to finally get yourself to a time of peace. This is what John chapter 14 says. Peace I leave with you. He's talking to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Right? Don't give in to your fears. I'm the God who's there with the gift of peace. The God who longs to not teach you how to gain peace, gives you peace. And it's a tremendous thing that God calls to us. He longs for us to hear his voice. He longs for us to open our hearts to receive the things that he wants to give us. And I think that's difficult for us sometimes as we go through this life. Our lives get so busy and so crazy that we just can't stop. And it is important sometimes to put our eyes on God. You know, this was a good to set up Hawaii here, because church is a place to take a break, to open our eyes and receive the incredible gifts that God has for you. I've talked with people sometimes, they come and they say, I'm struggling with this. And after church service, they're like, man, I'm so glad I came here today. Sometimes God has us come together to come in this place to open our ears to the things he has to teach us. Because it's not about you learning how. Peace is a gift from God. Thirdly, and this is a kind of funny thing, peace is not something you are capable of making happen. It's interesting. You know, I do this in sermons different times. I love going online, and when I have a topic like peace, and I think, I wonder what people do without Christ in their life. So I'm searching online, and I'm digging around, and I'm looking at these different peace things from people who are not Christian, right? People who don't believe in God. What do they say about peace? How do you find peace? What is peace? You know, it's interesting. And I got this one, 7 ways to find peace. And to me, just insane. The fifth one was absolutely hilarious to me. They say this. They say, be consistent and don't change things in your life. Because the changing of things often cause the trouble. And I'm like, what? Who can never have things? It's not like you have control to unchange your life. It's not like things don't happen. Change is a part of life. That's an insane statement, but how are they going to find peace? Well, you just control it. You can't control it. You never can control it. And so the peace of God, I mean, this is a tremendous thing. This is Philippians. We've been saying Philippians again and again, Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith. that God wants you to be at peace, not because you can figure it out, not that you have answers for all the struggles. It's the peace of God, that we know the God who's greater than everything that we face. No matter what we face, we can rest on Him and be at peace, which has no understanding. I love the moments where I'm smiling and things are going ugly and people are like, why are you smiling? And I'm like, I know God's got His plan. What? How do you know God got His plan? I don't see. I don't know. God's going to do it because He always does. And let me tell you, just like I was telling you before the service, I mean, having palm trees and stuff for this service, woo, gift of God. God has His things and His way of doing it. Abraham is a great example for us. I mean, Abraham is the man who we first hear. Abraham, he's, you know, living in this place with family, and God says, go. I'll tell you where. Just go. Okay. Leaves his life, doesn't know where he's going to live. Tells him, stop here. Okay, I'll stop here. He builds in that. Things are going so well, so much that there's a problem with him and his family member, and so they have to break up, and the family member takes the cool place and go over here. Okay, no problem. Then, oh, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Okay. And then he has a son, and then he says, Abraham, I want you to kill your son. Okay. How does he do that? How does he do it? Because his peace, his hope, his direction in life is just following the God who made him and who loves him so much. And he has no question about the love of God. No question at all. And he makes his mistakes. He's not a perfect man, but he's a great model for me. I mean, I think about getting ready for this. Oh, my goodness. This was a lot of work, I'll say that. And then there was a funeral here on yesterday morning, and I'm going crazy. And then even during the funeral time, we all of a sudden, there's all these spiders, tiny little spiders running up and down these things. And I'm like, what is going on? And that one got thrown outside. And I was so nervous that there was going to be more spiders, so I checked it this morning. Not a single spider. No webs being made. I mean, yesterday, you know, get through the funeral and the, you know, and great person, great man, no question, things like that. But I'm just stressed out because there's a service coming and it's about peace. And 2 o'clock yesterday, 3 hours before the service, I just stopped. And I said, all right, Lord. Still trying to set up things, still trying to get everything set up. Lord, you know what? Give me your peace. And I stopped and prayed to Him. Number four, your peace is found not by trusting that God is with you. Your peace is found not like I'm doing the things that God has for me to do. A lot of times our peace is found in just talking with and relying on the God who made us. I love the fact that Jesus, he knows what's happening. He is about to die for the sins of the world. And he spends in John chapter, 4, 5, 6. I mean, these are all loaded with things he's trying to teach his disciples. We quoted 4 before already, talking about peace. And he gets to the very end, his last line to his disciples, before he decides to pray, is a pretty powerful line. John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. I know I'm about to leave you. I'm about to get crucified. You're not going to understand what's going on. And what is he praying for these disciples? What does he long for them to have? Peace in the God who has his plan. Peace in the God who is mightier than everything that we face. Peace. And it's quite a reality. That's how he wraps up his words to his disciples. And then he prays for them. Peace is something that's very much found when we spend time leaning on God, bringing our anger. Lord, I'm just so angry. Our sadness. Lord, I'm just not so happy. Our fears. Lord, what's going to happen? Peace of God. He's right there. The God who died for you is right there. And the reason why we're doing communion after this crazy sermon is because God is right there. Never think you're alone. We take this body and blood and we know it. Christ is there to forgive our mistakes. And that we know without a question, he's in us, he's with us, he helps us. He longs to bring us peace. Now, I will say, sometimes people might say to me, Chris, you don't even have shoes on. You're not well dressed. How do you do the Lord's Supper? And I would quickly say to you, Moses was called to take his shoes off before coming into the place of God. So, I know it's okay. And so, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Peace the Lord be with you all.